Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 41 of the Nerd Cantina Show. Today, Steve and I are going to cover this week's news, leading off with some talk around the Blizzard banning in response to some pressure from China. We've got a latest mass shooting and misuse of the platform Twitch. The world might have just gotten its first cyborg. And then a little bit of talk as far as releases with PS5 announcing on their upcoming release and Disney Plus leaning into their release of their streaming service next month. It's a full week. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, welcome nerds to episode 41 of the Nerd Cantina Show. And this is one with both Steve and I in two different parts of the country recovering from different illnesses. So if the sound quality sounds off on our voices, this is just our voices this week.
Yeah, and it's Monday night now, inching towards Tuesday morning. We usually record this on Monday morning. So it being night, I am pretty cheesed.
So this is one just to keep the streak going. We're not going to miss a week. There's a lot of news to be covered, and we want to make sure that we talk about it.
We'll see if Ken's voice holds up.
Yeah, but we'll see if I can make it. I've got some lozenges sitting here next to me and a glass of water. Let's see if we can get through it.
I'm just high as fuck.
So we've got to get started, and it's probably going to be our deepest topic of the night. So let's do it while we're fresh. And this talk we're on Blizzard and the ban of one of their more significant players as a result to some comments that they made in support of the democratic protest taking place in Hong Kong.
Yeah, this is really messed up. You know, I want to say China's going on now 17 straight weeks of riots. Is it weeks or days? I think it's weeks.
Weeks.
Yeah. 17 straight weeks of riots now in Hong Kong over, you know, the overwhelming reach of the Chinese government over the citizens, you could say. And this is them now using their financial weight as a way to stifle, you know, because they control the press in China, right? They control everything that the people see, but they can't control what, you know, people see and talk about around the world. Well, they're finding that the Chinese dollar, what is that, the yen, that holds a lot of power in holding back speech and getting the world to recognize what's going on in China alone. It's pretty messed up.
Yeah, I mean, the whole situation going on over there, you know, it is messed up. This all started, you know, like you said, 17 weeks ago. For those of you who don't know, I'll give a quick background, but this all started 17 weeks ago, so months ago, following an individual who actually committed murder in a Chinese property. He ended up flying to Hong Kong. The Chinese government said, hey, we want him back. We're going to try him. We're going to extradite him. And Hong Kong doesn't extradite back to China. Hong Kong is owned via lease from Chinese government, but Hong Kong is treated as its own country with its own governance and its own democratic process. And they don't extradite back to China, to the motherland. And it's for good reason, because there's a lot of things that take place in Hong Kong that in its own nature would violate Chinese law and could cause some issues. This started a whole process with some Hong Kong government officials trying to actually extradite and trying to write laws into place. Chinese government stepped in, and then the people protested, and the people have won. The laws to actually have the extradition laws for China have gone away. There are some other things that they're now continuing to protest and riot in the sense of the Chinese overreach into their government. So you see a lot of this going on. Some of these riots are brutal. If you come across some videos on YouTube or whatever it happens to be, or news organizations, NPR is following this pretty closely and things.
Yeah, I've watched one, man. The guy blew my mind. They shot a tear gas canister at him, and he put that shit in liquid nitrogen, turned it into solid, and then just put out like dust onto the ground. Like, these Chinese motherfuckers are getting ingenuitive. Like, they're taking rioting up to a whole new level here. Like,
well, and it's on
you
both
know
sides.
You're on some shit when you got liquid nitrogen with you. When you go out to protest, like, that's some next level shit.
Yeah, I mean, imagine after a couple of weeks of getting tear gas, you got to come up with your own solution to make it your protest continue to be viable. And I mean, that's what we see. And the riot, the the riot control agents are stepping up as far as their aggressiveness. The rioters or protesters, whatever you want to call them, right? The rioters, if you're in some voices, they're just simple protesters, and others, depending on your opinion there. It's gotten pretty bad. And there's some.
Well,
some,
and that's what brings us right back around to the video game aspect of it. So one of the, what do they call them? Grandmasters of Hearthstone.
Yeah, Grandmaster, in the Grandmaster competition.
Was it a tweet or was it actual?
So was that an interview?
Did he say something? Yeah, he said something in an interview,
He said it in an interview at an event. So following an event, he said it in an interview supporting the protesters of Hong Kong.
And I think he wore one of the masks that symbolize, you know, because they're all wearing those facial recognition masks, so they don't get, you know, have these people come to their homes when after they're done. I think he wore one of those masks during the tournament also.
So it's gotten a lot of negative press. Who knows where the pressure came from? But then you get Blizzard
dropping the ban hammer. Yeah, they dropped
not just the ban hammer, but also are withholding all of his winnings, his 2019 competition winnings as well. So financially fined him for violating what they're stating as their kind of rights within their organization, which is essentially that you can't make any divisive comment, period. So they're just saying that supporting Hong Kong is a divisive comment, and they're claiming that as a violation of their, not really terms of service, but it's just their conduct policy for their grandmasters, and then banning them altogether.
Yeah, and that's, it's really kind of messed up that they actually have that ability to do so. You know, I mean, God only knows what we sign in these contracts from these major corporations. They have every out that they possibly can ever dream of. So I'm sure he probably did violate something. And that's why even in recent interviews, he's not like upset with Blizzard. And, you know, he's just going to, all right, fuck him and move on with his life. He ain't trying to cause a big ruckus, because I think he knows that he signed some contract that allowed them to be able to do this. Whether they should or shouldn't have is another story, but they definitely probably had the ability to. But you also see with the Blizzard's actions, huge ramifications that are rippling throughout the entire gaming industry now. So you have Epic Games CEO come out and say that they'll never do any of this. There was another Hearthstone-type game that was offering to pay all his winnings and sign him to a contract to come over and play their game and be a representative of their brand. This is like something that the entire industry is kind of taking notice of.
It's an industry thing, but it also comes down to, you don't know, the difficult part is we don't know where Blizzard's pressure is on this, right? It's easy to make the snap judgment. What I'd like to know is, you know, was Blizzard going to get 100% banned in one of the most, you know, population dense countries in the world?
Oh, for sure. That's what they're afraid of. Afraid of getting, just like any YouTube channel, just like anything that the government wants to block, they, at any point, they could just shut down Blizzard servers from talking to anybody in China. And if, I mean, I played WoW for a long time. Chinese gold farmers were a thing. Like, there's people that just play in China that farm gold and then they sell gold in real life for real money. And like, I can only imagine the massive amount of users they have in China.
Yeah. And so this is one of the interesting dynamics of this whole situation is what we have is communist country and communist government using capitalist principles to undermine our own democracy and freedom of speech. And because
it's really
superpower.
Smart of them, you know. Like, I mean, you can't. It's maniacal as fuck. It's some crazy shit. But like, oh, y'all love your freedom of speech. I bet you like this yen more. Shut the fuck up. Like, and everyone's just like, oh, you know, ni hao. Like, yes, sir.
Like, to some degree, Blizzard might not have much of a choice, right? When you look at Blizzard's, if you open up the books on Blizzard, we don't know how much of their profit is covered by the Chinese market. It's probably significant.
Well, the CEO of Epic Games, who also came out and said that they will never do this and blah, blah, blah. A Chinese-owned company owns 40% of Epic Games. He owns controlling shares, but a Chinese company owns 40% of Epic Games. Yeah, and he still came out. He still came out and said, as long as I'm the majority shareholder, this shit will never happen. Yeah, so could have a massive sell-off in his like that. I mean, I give him some credit for knowing these facts and being like, yeah, no, I don't give a shit. Like, let them sell my stock. I don't give a fuck.
So, you know, I'm not giving Blizzard necessarily an out on this. It's just
it's understandable.
Dynamic.
It's like the Joker. We don't feel bad for him, but we understand.
Well, and it's like it's great to stand on your ideals. And then 6 months from now, when you lose billions of individuals that you relied on in order to cover your overhead, and now what? You're firing half your employees. You're no longer shutting down servers. You're losing the money that you needed to cover overhead costs. Well, yeah, great. Stand on your morals as you're firing people on their way out, and you're folding up because you just lost a huge portion of what you need to be viable. We don't know. We don't know really what is tying into these things. But what we do know is that China is stepping up their economic pressure game between this and what we've seen, you know, in the same time frame with the NBA. If you nerds don't follow anything in the NBA,
we'll throw a little sports ball in there.
Something similar happened. The only reason I would bring it up is because something similar happened where you had a general manager of one team in Houston make a tweet supporting Hong Kong.
He didn't even like make a tweet. He just shared like the logo, you know, like the Stand with China or Stand with Hong Kong logo.
And the Chinese government immediately started putting pressure. They started ripping all of the Houston Rockets, like posters that had anything Houston Rockets. They started ripping it off of everything in Beijing. The stores aren't selling Houston Rockets items. They talked about not selling any NBA stuff, which is a huge deal. NBA is a big part of their culture as far as their pop culture that they've adopted over there in China. And they're talking about banning all NBA. They banned some of the preseason games that were supposed to be played in China. They're no longer televising the games. All in response because one coach or one general manager just sent a single tweet in support of Hong Kong protests.
Well, and you even have players that were really vocal about free speech a couple years ago and having to kneel during songs, totally shutting the fuck up right now and ain't got nothing to say right now, and are even making statements about how tweets have ramifications and we should think about these things before we, like, man, China got a bunch of people just turn on their heads. Like, this is crazy.
To me, that's the beautiful part about this whole thing. Like I said, it's, you know, you have a nation that's as far away from what
and it's
we
a monster that we kind of created too. Oh, America manufactured this whole Chinese market of gearing towards there and you know whatnot. And
I was gonna say, well, you screwed up there as you said America manufactured this. Problem is, we don't manufacture shit.
Yeah, we don't manufacture shit. We don't manufacture shit.
Everything's made in China. That's the whole problem here. And so right now, it is just a nasty situation of kind of economic pressure to force speech, or at least in the domains they care about, right? The places that their citizens watch and pay attention to, because right now they're telling their citizens that everything going on in Hong Kong is not their fault. It's all screwed up. And if people in the NBA start spouting their mouths off about what's really happening there, oh, well, shit.
I just thought of a really funny meme I need to make now. So you know that meme of the dude walking with his girlfriend and then looking back at the other girl? And it's
everybody knows that meme.
So the dude's the NBA, the girlfriend's China. And like the other girl walking past is like India. like, hey, which one of you other you land masses has a billion people we can market to? Huh? India, how you looking? How you doing, boo?
And that's the only hope at this point. But yeah, it's a crazy story. Blizzard, I don't know what the ramification is. What you see is that there was a lot of movement towards individuals trying to delete accounts and ban Blizzard. And Blizzard, like, really blocked the hell out of this.
They did. They seen a massive exodus coming from you figure, so like anybody in the Chinese market that was in, you know, that feels this is wrong, that is for the protesters, would instantly cancel their account, you know, out of a similar protest. Not to mention all the Americans, Europeans that are, you know, are in support of this. So instantly they sent an error code out when you try to delete your account. Like, so they wanted to make sure they can confirm. They have authentication processes, right? There's an app on the phone. You type in a code. There's other ways. There's like, I think, four different
verification methods.
Yeah. So to authenticate, you know, who you are. And they put a lock on the authenticators. And people were even putting in like all four answers. And they're just like, yep, nope, we don't think it's you. We're not letting you delete your account. Like, you're just a bot. Like, that, like, it just, this is like some Lex Luthor type kind of like maniacal shit that's just going down in crazy boardrooms of shareholders and governments that are just like, 20 years from now, we're going to be watching this movie made by the next Oliver Stone. Like, man, I'm telling you, like, we live in crazy times. And this is still even just kind of ramping up. Like we said, 17 straight weeks of riots, and now this is like starting to happen. So now you're getting like everybody to start to take notice. Like, this is going to be a fire that I don't think China can put out, and they got that cash fire extinguisher right now. It seems to be doing pretty well, but you know, us poor people, we don't give a fuck. You know, so I'll say stand with Hong Kong right now. I don't give a shit. You know, like, so I don't know if this is going to be, you know, be the thing that kind of gets everybody to stop talking about it, you know?
Yeah, I like I said, what China has is their beautifully designed echo chamber that it's only the information they want to get. So do they care if the Nerd Cantina is talking about it? No, because last time we checked their downloads, I haven't seen a single China download come through.
I'm going to look now.
You know, do they care even if like CNN is talking about it, which, you know, other people have talked about it. Marco Rubio, as a politician, talked about how this is a violation of, like, yeah, our people could talk about it and get picked up by news stations. The thing is American media doesn't hit China internet. Like, it's,
yeah,
just
like,
not, you,
yeah, the like China, they don't have people in China don't see it.
Yeah, they don't have access to it. So they don't care. What they care about is like, they just, you just can't jam it into the NBA because the Chinese are watching those NBA games. And if there's signs being held up in the stands that say I support Hong Kong, well, their citizens are going to see it, which is why the NBA kicked people out of their stadiums if they were holding up signs that said they supported Hong Kong.
Which is also messed up, man. like this is so kind of like crazy that they are putting the almighty dollar in front of all kinds of like things that they have come out and, you know, we fully support this, we fully support that, until it messes with our money, then we don't support anything.
And this is, you know, we can go back to older topics when we talk about China and stuff like that, and going back to like the ban for Huawei and whether, oh, well, you know, are we just being conspiracy theorists as a government and not trusting them? Like, no, don't trust China. Like, just simply don't, because even if it's a Chinese company that has nothing to do with its government, as we see, even American companies that have nothing to do with Chinese government don't have the freedoms to back away from Chinese influence. So what do you think? You think Huawei wouldn't eventually be able to sell things to the Chinese government or provide them access to systems that are important to U.S. infrastructure when we talk about 5G technology and things like that, with just some simple economic pressure? And once, when their board of directors are in China, it's not just economic pressure. It's physical lock your ass up pressure as well.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see where Blizzard heads with this, because I seen a meme today that was like a boxer about to get in the ring, and it was like they're fighting for world's most hated video game developer, and it was EA like getting ready for the fight, and then all of a sudden it looks over to the other corner, it's Blizzard sitting there like, all right, let's go. And that's the thing, is Blizzard's been able to kind of like, because for so long they've only been PC games, so they haven't really gotten into the console wars. But now with Overwatch and, you know, Diablo being on consoles, they have they have picked up an even larger market of the video game community.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting to see the ramifications from this. Cause I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I played Overwatch yesterday.
I would say I see, I saw a brief article talking about how Mei from Overwatch is being used now by the Hong Kong protesters. Like a symbol of their protests.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck you, Blizzard and Jenna. We're going to take your one Asian character and we're going to turn it into our own mascot here.
Yeah. Well, she's from China in the video game. Yeah. Like it's, man, this is really kind of something that I don't think is going to go away anytime soon. And with the amount of tech that comes out of China and the amount of video games that get consumed in China and the movie market, you know, like Disney's got a lot to lose with a pissed off China, you know, this is going to be interesting.
Yeah. And I mean, there's already the Disney thing. This is where like our kind of where we focus a lot, Steve, but we think a lot about these social things and issues going on and political issues going on. And this is where it collides with then the nerddom. When you see impacts into Blizzard, you see impacts into tech, even when you talk about just mentioning Disney, back when these protests started 17, 18 weeks ago, the actress who's going to play Mulan in the live action Disney remake, she came out in support of the Hong Kong protest and Disney shut that shit down in a hurry
with her
ability to speak in press conferences and stuff like that. And now that it's continuing to live on, like there's a lot as far as how this social
that's kind of what we like to do with the show is show how nerd culture intersects with society and things like that. And that's why we hope you guys enjoy the show actually. It's cause you know, it is, we do focus on our nerd culture, but it's also about, you know, real life. These things affect our lives. You know, when these video game companies get shut down or, you know, get these kinds of pressure put on it, you know, I'm waiting to see massive people in China just start doing DDoS attacks on Blizzard servers. Like, you thought it was hard to get in a fucking WoW Classic server before. Wait till all these pissed off Chinese rioters start fucking doing massive DDoS attacks on these Blizzard servers and shit. You're gonna want to know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if this incident raised awareness here in the U.S. within our community is, you know, how many people heard about this banning or like Hong Kong, what's happening? Cause it isn't very heavily covered here. Well,
esports is starting to really get steam in the United States. And this is a big story in esports, you know, especially with companies like Epic Games coming out and backing the players, because that's essentially what's going to keep esports thriving is these players are going to need to know that their future is secure in these leagues. You know, if you're going to make a livelihood by being a professional video game player, you're going to want to know that the league that's supporting you is going to be around, is going to be supportive, isn't going to just, you know, treat you like another cog in the wheel. These people want to be the next NBA type players, you know, MLB type players, you know, where they have eventually they're probably their own players union and things are worked out along these lines. So this is also setting huge precedent in the esports community.
Yeah. So with esports, that does have its own group, and they have been politically activists towards some things. But I guess I still don't even truly understand the true impact or reach that esports has.
So there's an Overwatch League. You know, they play that shit on like TBS on Friday nights and on the Disney Channel. Like, I've sat at my table watching motherfuckers play Overwatch on cable. So, you know, the one thing that could happen is you could have, you know, American TV stations putting pressure on companies like Blizzard, like, well, hey, if you're going to fuck over these players, you know, we're going to rescind some TV contracts. Like, if this is all going to be about money, you know, people to say, well, if Blizzard is doing this, we're not going to watch your channel. Well, then if they're not going to watch the channel, then TBS, or I'm pretty sure it's TBS, it's on TBS, might have something to say to Blizzard, like, hey, motherfuckers, like, and how much does that TV money hurt Blizzard or whatever eSport, you know, whoever's the major proprietor of that. I don't know.
Probably not at all. Who's watching TBS at midnight? I don't know.
Motherfucker, it's on like 7 o'clock. It's prime time. I just told you I watched that shit.
Yeah. You're a poor sample size. I don't know. In the end, all this stuff is nuts with the China stuff. Hopefully, I'm hoping it raises awareness. I like to when more people are, I guess, at least aware of what's going
socially
on.
Socially aware.
Talking about these issues. It's a big focus of what we attempt to do here in the podcast. So yeah, make sure you talk to somebody else about this and see where this goes, as this protest isn't going away. And this just might be the first real public incident of where the Chinese influence has been made aware to us as a whole. Who knows how many times this has happened in the past, or how many times corporations have been kind of told, like, hey, if you still want to operate and have us allow you within Chinese media, you can't talk about this, you can't do this. Who knows how much is happening behind closed doors? But these are pretty overt examples of immediate suppression of.
Well, we know it, at least in the movie industry, like crazy. There's different Chinese edits of movies. The end game we saw here isn't the end game they saw in China. You know, they do edit their movies, edit their marketing materials, and they cater to that market in a numerous amounts of ways in the movie industry.
Yeah, but yeah, and as I say, there's a lot of that behind closed door stuff that happens that isn't necessarily a reflection of attacks against freedom of speech. You know, the responses to just general human beings who are supporters of these companies, and then them forcing the companies to squash the individual rights of those who are participating, whether it's, you know, a general manager in the NBA or a sponsored player in Blizzard. This is the first instance that I know of.
Very public instance.
So curious to see if this continues and if this trend continues as far as Chinese influence.
We have some more somber news from the other side of the world too, with a recent mass shooting that happened in Germany.
Yeah, so this happened, I guess at the time that we're recording this is a couple of days ago, and there was another shooting that took place in Germany, and which seems to be a trend with some of these shootings now, is to find platforms to live stream them, and this one was live streamed on Twitch. The shooting was live streamed on Twitch. It was brought down fairly quickly, long enough for people to view it, long enough for people to download it.
Yeah, well, because they only know once people report it, you know, and they put it, I want to say, like an open Call of Duty channel. It had a decent amount of viewers once it got going. And, you know, it's putting these kinds of platforms in like a tough spot. It's horrific that they'd be used for something like this. And in no way does Twitch or any of, you know, YouTube Live or any of these streaming sites want to be associated with stuff like this. But really, how do you even stop something like this?
Yeah. And you really can't, especially off of like the whole purpose of the platform is to be able to stream live to your audience, communicate live to your audience, kind of participate with. If you're going to do that, then you're opening yourself up for things like this. It's a weird kind of manipulation of things that pop culture loves in order to then, I guess, you know, share their message and their violence through these attacks.
Well,
and
then most of these people that do these attacks, they want some kind of notoriety, right? They want, you know, they all have manifestos, they have ideology that they're trying to get across. And this, you know, going live and streaming and something, you know, it just might be, you're never going to take it away from anybody. It's here to stay, but it's just, it might be one of those things that just humans shouldn't have. like, because you're gonna have these people that use it in horrific ways. There's 7 billion people on the planet. You can't give access like this, you know, 7 billion people, and you know, can go live at any time.
Yeah. Have free access to go live to as many people as they can get to click a link.
And not expect one fucking shithead to do something horrific like this. Like, I just think that it's really sad, because we're going to have to come to terms with this is a new part of life. And that's kind of fucked up.
Yeah, I think it's already something that we have to come to terms with, because these services aren't going to go away. People have seen the effectiveness of doing this as far as, yeah, gaining their, getting further reach to whatever message they're trying to do, whatever the purpose that is driving them towards violence. You know, what we see with these mass shootings is it's rarely because they're just, you know, they're not attacking a single individual. These aren't the mass shootings of the 90s that we would talk about with people going postal and it was just a disgruntled worker who would shoot up his workplace, right? That's not what we see today. There is some ideological component to the attacks, which if you're going to have an ideological end goal in mind, then, man, Twitch, Facebook, and all these are going to be used. And
that was the thing. They used to just all leave like a manifesto or a note or record a video, you know, before they went and send it to the press. Or, you know, they never had the ability to just say, I'm going to press one button.
Yeah.
And I'm going to broadcast it to the entire motherfucking world. How do you like that?
And you know, Twitch quickly brought it down. It was whether they learned from the last one that was put on Facebook Live. And that thing lived on for a long time. That last attack in Germany, it took Facebook a long time to find all the instances of that video. Twitch was able to bring it down pretty quickly. It still ended up being found in like 4chan. So that video still lived on well beyond what Twitch was able to do. But this is this is a new norm. It's not going to go away. These live platforms are going to go away, and I don't think they should go away because of, you know, the misuse of them.
Again, like I said last week, we can't cater society to the lowest common denominator, you know, but at the same time, I'm very sympathetic to this problem and don't know, you know, maybe there's people out there smarter than me that'll be able to figure this out one day and be able to get these things shut down, you know, as soon as possible before, you know, but as of right now, to my knowledge, like it's, you know, it's all just how fast someone can report it, how fast the guy at IT could check it, verify what's going on, and then pull it down. Because you also don't want to be in a situation where you have rival streamers just reporting each other, you know, to get their channel shut down. Like we also know there's trolls out there that will use these means.
Well, I think that's what we'll see, though. I think we'll see the companies err on the side of caution, which, you know, oftentimes is a good approach. And I think they will start pulling streams and stuff down with the first instance of a reportable offense in certain categories. And then, yeah, it'll get manipulated. Same as, you know, we talked about the swatting and stuff. People are willing to waste government resources and stuff. Again, having people get swatted in their house, well, they probably wouldn't hesitate to just claim that, you know,
oh, yeah. Oh, no.
Somebody, somebody who just killed them and made fun of them in a stream or whatever else. So they'll just get their stream shut down for a day or two by claiming that it's a real life attack, a real life violence.
Yeah. And then you're fucking with people's livelihoods. You know, a lot of people make money by doing this, and you know, especially the good ones. If there's people watching their channel, then they're probably making a couple bucks doing it. And like, yeah, it's, I just don't know, man. This just doesn't sit right in any instance with me whatsoever. It's just a really shitty thing that we're gonna have to figure out.
And it's shitty because I don't think there's a way to figure it out. I think that's one of the tough things. I don't think there is a real way.
Yeah, we say we're gonna have to come to terms with it, but it's like I don't want to come to terms with this. This is not, you know what I mean, like this is not something I want to come to terms with. I kind of want it fixed, you know. But
better AI.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. The only
better AI. Yeah, that's watching all of us.
When Skynet goes online, yeah, we'll be able to stop it. But Until then.
That's honestly probably the only scalable way to approach this, is if you have better AI that could actually identify real violence versus simulated violence. It at the blink of an eye, that's watching and scanning everything that's getting put on every single one of these platforms, and then they become the controller over what's reasonable. So, but yes, that's probably the only scalable way to attack these things somewhere in the future.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to some happier news.
All right. So let's talk over some happier news, in the sense that we've got potentially a guy who's claiming to be now the first cyborg. And Steve, I sent you that article. Have you had a chance to take a look at that?
I got a chance to browse it. So what I want to know is, how much percentage of robot do you have to be considered a cyborg technically?
That's a good question. I don't have the answer for you. I think if any of
I'm,
your...
I'm tweeting that out and putting it on the cantina. Like, how much of a robot do you need to be considered a cyborg?
I'm going to go with, you know, the difference between being like a human with like prosthetics
that's what I'm saying.
Cyborg. I think if you've got life functions reliant on the machines, you're cyborg.
Well, so no, I mean, not necessarily. If you get like brain chips put in your brain, it makes you a super smart supercomputer, like
cyborg.
And that could be like, that's like 1% of your body is now robot, but you're for sure a fucking cyborg. This is an interesting kind of like, yeah, I didn't really ponder that until just now, but like, you know, cause this is going to be a problem in the future someday, you know, like if you get cyborg checked on your driver's license or not, there's going to be some form of government regulation that determines whether, you know, how handicapped you are, you know, how much cyborg you are.
Oh, by the time that comes, none of us are driving anymore.
I would hope not.
Everything's autonomous at that point in time, because it's just foolish that I'm still driving a car. But yeah, so this guy, for those who don't know, the article will be found at thenerdycantina.com/show41. But so Dr. Peter Scott Morgan, who is he was diagnosed with a motor neurone disease, which means that his muscles just slowly begin to atrophy and become essentially worthless, all of the muscles in his body. And leaning into this, once he was diagnosed with it, he just stated that he was going to do everything he could to become Peter 2.0, become a cyborg. He essentially just did his last little bit of surgeries and intentional kind of steps to take to convert himself into a cyborg. And what that means is he is going to interface with the world purely in this digital avatar that he's going to have, that he's controlling with his eyes. He's got a computer that will detect his eye movements and everything else that he can control. And he's shut his body down. So his mind will still continue to function. His body was going to deteriorate to a point. So ahead of the complete deterioration, he has...
Yeah, he's going like 97% cyborg.
Oh, yeah. Like his lung function is artificial. He's got a catheter inserted directly into his bladder, nowhere through his body, a colostomy bag hooked directly into his intestines. He's not even like... He's going straight to the source of all of his life functions and integrating artificial systems in place in order to keep his body just barely functioning, keeping his heart beating and his brain functioning. And then he will control his digital avatar and his digital system. He's got a wheelchair that can lay him down fully. And then it goes around with this artificial avatar on a screen that he controls. And the end goal is that he's able to control and manipulate a physical kind of robot just with his brain. And if he can keep his brain
alive.
So he's 61 years old now,
that's
right? Let's say he lives another 40 years just artificially keeping his heart pumping so he gets enough blood to his brain. And then ultimately his brain will have the ability to control other, you know, robotic systems. When we think about Neuralink and what we talk about, what Neuralink's capability will be, he's doing this through eye movement, through a computer that is sensing his eye movement, and he's controlling these things through. Well, what's he going to do when he can have multiple chips connected to all the neurons of his brain and then map that out to a robotic system?
To an actual, like, Boston Dynamics fucking robot. Like, yeah. Man, that shit's crazy. That shit is crazy.
This is nuts. Like, so this is absolutely nuts. Like, this is somebody just with a straight feeding tube directly into his stomach, colostomy bag directly on the back end of that stomach.
Well, this just brings me down like the nasty sci-fi rabbit hole, because one day you're going to have like a warehouse full of brains and jugs with just wires coming out of them, and there's going to be no humans. There's just going to be brains controlling robots.
No, there's just going to be a handful of humans. Just shitty ones like us emptying colostomy bags. And that's it. Just the poor ones like us. We're just waiting for our turn to put our brain on the shelf. But until then, we're emptying colostomy bags.
Yeah, like this is insane. The capabilities, like we're watching the dawn of like some crazy ass shit that our grandkids are just gonna be living amongst. And I still know people that don't know what a rotary phone is, let alone, the tech jump that's going to happen by the time we're old as shit, you know, but hey, put my brain in a jar. Give me a fucking robot. I'll walk around this earth for another 100 years as a robot. That's fine.
Yeah. I honestly don't know how I feel about this, because if this continues to advance, it does turn into like nobody dies, or at least the rich
nobody
don't
dies.
Die,
right? The rich don't die. It's immortality. Like
it just becomes, yeah. All they've got to do is just
this
keep
is like
blood
a crazy like version of Altered Carbon instead of this is nuts. For those that haven't seen Altered Carbon on Netflix, watch that shit.
Yeah, you
that
should
shit
watch
is
that.
Good.
Season 2 is coming out soon. This guy is nuts. It's taken it to a leap that I don't know if anybody's attempted to do this to his level. I mean, I'm talking about like, you've got to read the article to see how many elective surgeries. I mean, he did a complete complete surgery to remove his larynx, to take away his ability to talk, so that way he can't choke on his own saliva when he's just laying there motionless. Like, he has shut his body down surgically. It was going to happen eventually because of the disease, but he has just advanced it to a point and intentionally put himself in cyborg mode.
That's some next level dedication shit.
What if 25 years from now we're podcasting about this dude still just cruising around as this cyborg, but now he's just being like fireman's carried by the robot he's carrying around instead of on the wheelchair. Like, I don't know what the fuck he's doing.
He's Krang from Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely nuts. So I'm really curious to see. The last thing I want to hear is that this dude passes away in like the next 6 months, because all the surgeries and all the stuff that his body still just deteriorated to a point that all the precautions he did didn't work. But at the same point, man, if all these precautions do work, it opens up a whole lot, especially when you talk about like Neuralink and stuff. I think the system that he's using in order to control his environment and to cyborg is archaic when you compare
it's rudimentary,
to,
when
you compare it to what Neuralink's talking about bringing online in the next 5 years. So
yeah, because he's going off eye movement and the eye tracking technology that we have. It, you know, when we talk about the brain mapping stuff that we've been talking about the last couple months, that just opens a whole nother can of worms. Like, and he just didn't have time to wait for that to advance enough. You know, but if he shuts his body down and he uses this eye mapping for another 5 years, you know what I mean? Neuralink. I'm surprised Elon hasn't called dude up.
I was just about to say, go ahead and pretend that Elon doesn't somehow come across this and immediately tells this guy like, hey, I got a spot for you in trial number one.
Yeah, like, come very on down. Interesting. Yeah, like, you ready, buddy? Like that. Yeah, it's crazy times, man. Like, crazy times.
Yeah, so that's our lighthearted story for the day.
It's our feel good. Gets you right in the feels.
But then moving on from that, really just some light things just to touch on some topics. We got some new releases that just some news to be aware of. PlayStation 5 came out with the big reveal of their next the next release and the name for their next console.
like any of this is news, right?
Did anybody not know it was going to be called PlayStation 5? Was anybody not aware of that? Was anybody not aware of the fact that it was going to come out by holiday 2020?
Come out by Christmas. Yeah, like they all released November. Every fucking console is released in November of that year.
But hey, like, they announced it.
it's officially official. Get the fuck out of here. Thanks for the heads up, Sony. They did release a lot of the specs on it, and I seen a comparison with Xbox's specs and PlayStation 5 specs again, and they're just, it's like more of the same, like just minor tweaks on the differences.
Yeah.
I still think, man, I'll say it again, I'm waiting to get my hands on this Stadia. I really want to see how good this shit or bad it looks, you know, depending on what it is. You know, because I don't know why they're throwing all these teraflops and RAMs together when motherfuckers could be playing straight off their TV.
No, it's definitely gonna be curious. Why are we still selling boxes with high powered computers in it when all you need is a Chromecast and a controller to still play 60 FPS games?
Like I said, what, a couple weeks ago, there's still motherfuckers buying DVDs. We still make DVDs. Was my mind how people are still on DVDs.
And then another announcement, if you've got like an hour to go through a Twitter thread, you can
I couldn't do it.
Me neither. I didn't do it either, but Disney Plus put up a Twitter thread, tweet thread that you could just follow, that they just went through all of their things that they're releasing in
day on one
November 12th release, and it's everything. I don't know. If you got time, go through it. It's everything that you expected with the Mandalorians and blah, blah, blah. And it's everything you expected with all the old shows and old
There are some like ones, like if you browse a list, your eye will catch a few where you're like, oh, shit, I remember that one. Like, what was some of the ones I seen? Oh, they got Adventures in Babysitting. Like, I was like, oh, they own that one now? Yeah, definitely watching that sometime in the near future. What were some of the other ones? Sword in the Stone is my favorite Disney movie, so I was excited to see that. When I hit the T section, the amount of movies that start with the, like, you'd think they would just ignore the and go with the next word in the alphabetical order, but no. The was fucking in the T's, and I just it was like four thumb swipes of scrolls to get past the all the Star Wars cartoons, all the Lego Star Wars cartoons. Man, just so much good shit.
Yeah, so I didn't need to scroll through there because I'm already prepaid for it. So I mean, there's no point in me. I don't need to.
I had to know. I had to take a look real quick. And Hulu just started putting commercials in my Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. So my children have been quite pissed off about that. So I'm thinking maybe the Disney Plus app won't have the commercials in it. And they never used to play commercials. And all of a sudden I came home. My girlfriend was like, why is there like 90 seconds of commercials now when I play Disney, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse? And I started thinking about it. I was like, man, I bet it has to do with Disney Plus coming out next week. Hulu's trying to rake in some ad dollars before they lose that shit.
Yeah, makes sense. And then another release, it wasn't on our outline, and I don't know, maybe you know enough to talk about it. Fortnite Season 11 and the mess that happened with that.
Well, I don't know if it was a mess.
I don't think it was a mess. It was perceived as a mess, but I think it was intentional.
Yeah, well, Rami called me up bitching about it, like when it happened, sent me a text message of his screen from his computer. He's like, bro, what's going on with Fortnite? You know, and called me up. I was like, what's going on? He's like, I just happened to log on during the same time of the live event. So I was like, all right, cool. Hang out. You know, me and Danny were sitting there watching, and he's like, all of a sudden, it just went black and it froze like that. And I've been sitting here staring at this froze screen for like 45 minutes. I was like, yeah, man, I don't know. But then after reading a few articles, they put that black hole. It's a black hole, they said. So yeah, they put the black hole on their Twitter, on their. I just find it really hard to believe that they shut down a $1 billion machine for a few days for a new map event. Like, they got to be losing money right now. They got to be losing money.
Yeah, I think they're also driving hype. I don't know.
Maybe they were losing players.
And they're coming out with a whole new map. It's an entirely new map.
That would make sense. Is if they, you know, if we had the analytics for the last 3 months, they've been slowly on the decline with players, and they said, okay, we need to release this new map, and we need to get everybody to come back. How are we going to do it? I guess shutting it down for a few days and getting assholes like us to talk about it is a decent way to get some people to come back to check out the new shit. You know, like.
Yeah, and they had 10 seasons on the same map, you know, some minor tweaks and events that took place that manipulated the map, but same map. So now, yeah, you're going to get people who are going to come out to find out what the new map is, what the new areas are and all that stuff. So I don't care what you think about the game Fortnite. Those dudes are smart.
They're genius, man.
They've revolutionized how you look at games and how you make money off of games and create a culture around a game. Like, they have 100% changed gaming. So I don't think this is a misstep. I think, yeah, you lose a day of profitability to create.
Well, they went shut down for days. I want to say Saturday was the event. They're still shut down. That's what I mean. Like, yeah. It's not like they were just like, oh, we're going to do like our server cleanup and just extend it a little bit. Like, nah, they've been shut down for days now. So they got to be hemorrhaging some kind of seven-figure number.
Yeah. I'm sure they are. But I think in the end, so they've recognized they're going to make more money in the back end.
I wonder if they gave any of their... like streamers a heads up, like there's a lot of people that make money playing this motherfucking game. They just got a mandatory vacation.
I think they did to some degree, probably maybe not on time frame and stuff, but I think even ahead of the release or ahead of the event, I think Ninja tweeted out or said something somewhere about Fortnite getting a whole new map and how he's super excited about playing in a completely new environment or whatever else. So I think that it was known that season 11 was going to be a huge release. I don't know if they knew, yeah, that, hey guys, go schedule yourself a mini vacay. You got time.
Take a couple days off.
But no, it's really interesting. I've only casually played Fortnite here and there, but I'll probably want to jump in a game just to see the new map. Like, they'll bring me back for a round or two.
Yeah. I'll have to re-download it on my Xbox.
So, yeah, that's it for release talk, and that's it for the week's news. For the most part, this was a socially heavy week for us, but important for us to cover.
Yeah, some crazy shit. So going forward, we're going to be trying to do some exclusive content for our Patreon subscribers, some spoiler filled kind of discussions on movies, extra interview questions with our guests and things like that. So if you haven't subscribed on Patreon, you can go to the Nerd Cantina Patreon, and we're going to be offering that content to any subscriber. So there's not going to be a tier level that's only going to get it. If you sign up for the dollar, you get the extra content, you get the sticker. You know, we are going to try to work out some more exclusivities, but going forward, we want to offer our fans that have been putting their money where their mouth is a little something extra. We feel they deserve it. We've been able to take those dollars and improve our show and help subsidize some of the things that have been coming out of our personal accounts. So we do want to show those fans some appreciation and give them a little some exclusive content.
Yeah, and it gives us a place to run our mouths with full spoilers. We've attempted to do that at the back of the shows, but we're always afraid of those who just kind of play it through or whatever else. This gives us a place to have some of those different discussions that we won't do on the weekly podcast.
So people, look out for that. Patreon subscribers, you should be getting some updates soon. And like I said, it's a buck, man. It's a buck. Give me a fucking dollar, bro.
All right. Well, for those of you who've paid a buck or haven't, we still thank you for listening and appreciate you listening. as always, the community that we're trying to build is always present. We hope you join it at thenerdcantina.com/community, which will give you a place to request to join our closed Facebook group. And we'll continue to have these conversations, continue to build out that community, and hopefully grow stronger and more socially aware nerd culture. All right. Well, thanks again, nerds, and talk to you again next week.
See you next week, nerds.